Hello, and welcome to the Leaking Cast for the week of February 9th, 2014. My name is Thurbleton. Joined with me today is Shimboy.
The Jive Bomb store isn't working, and I'm very sad.
Yep. And then also Squiddle.
I want my new shirt. I'm a paid member, damn it.
And we're going to talk about the new update with Guild Wars 2 and, I guess, other stuff. What we've been playing.
New update? That game's dead. I don't know what you're talking about.
All
the content's temporary. Forums are a terrible place.
Is that what the talk on the forums is?
Not on, like, the Guild Wars 2 forums. Like, the anytime any, like, PC gaming or general gaming site posts anything about the game, is what it is. Why would anyone join in to do this temporary content that's only there for 2 weeks?
Yeah, MMORPG is guilty of doing that, at least in the user comments after
the talk. That's what I'm talking about. That's why reading the comments is a bad decision for your health.
It keeps me centered. At least I know how to base my opinion on. If they're talking about it, and my opinion's the same, there's something wrong with me.
Now I want to, like, sneak in and just, like, hack into Squiddle's computer, find out what websites he's visiting, and, like, post in those comments of, like, everything he agrees with.
Positive things.
Yes.
You'd be going to a lot of porn sites.
Man, the comments on those, like, completely joking aside, are really funny.
They are. It's pretty comical. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. What's the temporary content for this week, Thurbleton?
Well, the temporary content is just another story beat doing a lot of, I guess, talking and setting up for future updates with Guild Wars 2. Namely, just like a whole room full of investigation and just info.
Okay.
Sound about right?
Because we both do this, because basically what this week is, a while ago, I forgot who said it. I want to say it was Colin, but I could be wrong. It was just like, this is the latest update of the 4 Living Story ones for this season that are coming this year in terms of the story. And I think the reason he said that is because it seems like the story is sort of done, right? I guess. You'll see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, like they can only spend so much time hinting about what's about to happen.
This week, then, was sort of like, you know how every so often in, like, a TV show season, they'll have a week off where there's not a new episode, and they'll show, like, a recap episode?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what this is, more or less. That's what all the investigative stuff is, because you're with there with Marjorie and Casimir and some Sarah dude, and you're going over evidence from all these different things.
Like, to get everybody caught up who haven't done previous stuff.
Yeah, it's a good way to get people back up to speed. Also sort of like making sense instead of just, oh, this is a recap. Pretty neat. It's really quick. There's one pretty lengthy instance, but you can still knock it out in an hour or so, 2 hours.
I will say that, like, a lot of this update, or at least this, like, a lot of that scene where you're just doing, like, investigation detective work around the bar,
mm-hmm,
felt a lot like, you know, writing by a high school play. Except for the part where, like, okay, there's the part where Rox just shows up, and it's like, oh, hey, I'm in this story too now.
Don't forget about me, you guys.
Yeah. And they take the reference back to, like, you know, it's like, oh, did Rox have anybody important in her life? And it's like, oh, that was cheesy up until the text part. So not the voice acting bit, because that was cheesy as all get out. But the part where they just, like, talked like a couple sentences about Rox's previous warband and all that, like, that seemed better written and delivered than anything else of that crew, of that whole scene.
My favorite part is the ley lines are involved, and that's what the thumpers and everything have to do with.
Yeah.
When Marjorie and Casimir at the same time are just, like, super excited. She's going after the ley lines! And it's, like, really cheesy in the best way.
Oh, yeah. But that was pretty much, like, well, that was the bulk of that bit. And then,
well,
I guess,
pretty much all it leads, all signs, if you will, point to her attacking, her being Scarlet, attacking LA. There's a thumper under LA that changed colors and got everyone super concerned. and that one of the dragons is going to get introduced as like the next big bad.
Yeah. It's, and there's a bit of contention. I guess this is still like, you know, theory crafting and all that. So we aren't really spoiling anything. We're just predicting. But I believe it to be Primordius, mainly because there's a lot of focus for stuff underground.
Whereas yeah, Shinboy, there is. Well, I was thinking it was Primordius as well, because it makes sense. Well, there's a lot of stuff underground. The part where the marionette is, where she summoned all of her forces, this might be a little detail that I'm looking too deep into, but that is just north of a whole bunch of destroyers on the map. And Primordius was also the thing with the destroyers. And it pretty much, you know, all just makes sense. But I've heard from a few different sources.
Oh.
I'm not going to say who they are.
Ooh.
It's Mordremoth, the jungle dragon.
Yeah.
In that he is somehow underground in, like, the Maguma Wastes. Because that's sort of where the ley lines point back to, is, like, southern Maguma. And sort of near the grove, and that, like, the pale tree is involved as, like, a lieutenant of him. It's, like, all kinds of weird, crazy nonsense.
Well, and on top of that, the, like, the part where Scarlet, I guess, seems to be rebelling, but sort of not. Like, maybe that the other tree is, I don't know.
Talking about staring into, like, the abyss and meaning, like, nightmare and the dream and all that, and having something stare back.
Yeah.
Points to Maguma.
Also just a ton of Cthulhu talk, which is fun.
Yep. This new Iced Earth album has a song about Cthulhu on it.
Oh, nice.
Talking about that before the podcast began.
Yeah.
The song is just as silly as you would imagine it. See, that's the story stuff. It's pretty light. It's a recap with some extra hinting. Pretty much, not really hinting. It is confirming what was hinted at, that LA is the target.
Yeah.
So that's temporary stuff. What is the permanent stuff for this week, Thorpleton?
The permanent stuff is the long-talked-about Edge of the Mists.
Oh,
which
what is that?
Fun. It's the new... We've talked about it like three times now. it's the new battleground that's not like not really a battleground map for World vs. World. It's more a like overflow battleground.
However, it's a lot more fun than the battleground maps, in my opinion.
Well, in that, like, most people in there are not trying to take over the whole map. They're just trying to have fun. It's still a little bit chaotic, and no one really understands the map layout yet. So there's a lot of stuff that is still fresh in people's minds.
Yeah. It's a series of islands. You can get knocked off everywhere.
And also, I think the fact that, like, it resets every 2 hours, so you don't know what...
2 hours?
Well, every time I've been on there, it seems to be 2 hours. So maybe it's probably longer than that, but...
I said it was four.
Okay, four were. Like, it resets in a relatively, like, you know, small amount of time. So there's really not an incentive to have, like, this, you know, week-long siege that we have with, the, like, normal World vs. World.
Yeah, the score doesn't matter, basically.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it is 4 hours, and the point takes every 5 minutes. Basically, it's an overflow map, and it lumps every server from a region together. And you know how they're like blue, green, and red teams for each matchup?
Yeah.
All of the blue servers are lumped together, all of the green servers are lumped together, and all of the red servers are lumped together. So you can play with your friends in World vs. World if they're on other servers, provided that you're the same color that week. So it's better than nothing.
Yeah, that is definitely very nice, and... was a bit confusing early on because I didn't realize, like, I ran into some people from Giant Bomb in the Lincoln Forest while I was doing tours on other servers, and I was just like, wait, what? When did you guys switch to, like, what was it, Overgrowth or Frost? Basically, I named Frost the server that was, like, the Overflow ranking, not...
Yeah, because if you're in... It's basically Frostreach, which is snowy and bottom right, Battlelands, which is desert and bottom left, and Overgrowth, which is sort of foresty and rainy up north. And the only people that you see names for are the people that are actually from your server. And everyone else just gets the name for what region. So even if you're on Frostreach, you won't see everyone's name. Everyone will just be like Frostreach, then their rank, even though they'll be allies, unless they're from your actual server. That was confusing, because they didn't really say that.
Well, and like that was some of the stuff that we were like wondering logistically how they were going to handle all that, and that seems to be an okay way.
Because I saw someone when we first started, when Matt first went in, I saw someone and their name was like Frostreach Bronze Scout, and I was like, that's a weird name. Oh, it's someone named their character that. It took me a while to realize that it was just their rank and that Frostreach was where we were. Didn't communicate that well, but it's really not that big of a deal now that you sort of look at it. Basically, green means good, red means die.
I like that idea.
Yeah, you were messing around with this map right before we started. What did you think with your brief time?
I think I even remember making the comment that it will probably bring me back into playing Guild Wars, if not just for that. I had a really fun, stupid time doing that. And
fun and stupid is the perfect way to describe that map.
And the thing I like about it, I'm not a very competitive person. I really am not. So the idea of just being able to get in there and run around and not worry about a commander going, why WTF you not doing this right, and then using weird words and characters on the screen because you can't type out a correct sentence. I enjoy it. I enjoy the dumbness of it. And it's funny
because when that went in a couple of days ago, you had guilds running like 60-man Zergs through the map. And I was sitting there just like, why are you guys doing this? This is dumb.
Yeah.
And people were getting real aggro, like it was actual Warrior World. And then I sort of left for a couple of days. And that all seems to have gone, which is why I was looking forward to that map. I was talking to someone who's really big into World versus World. And I was just like, the new map looks great. This is before it came out. And they were just like, why? It's a whole bunch of choke points for Siege. And I was like, that is exactly why I'm excited for it. All the people who are really into Warrior World won't bother.
Exactly.
And all the people who just want to do like small group Siege and stuff will maybe have a good time with that while fighting, like, you know, just scrubs, I guess. Just people who want to have fun.
Because you're still going to have your large Zergs of just, you know, pickup groups and all that running through with like 40, 50 people. But I've noticed a lot more, you know, small guild groups of 5 or 6, you know, skirmishing with other groups of 5 or 6 in like random areas as people just run around.
I mean, let's put it this way. I had more kills in the 15 minutes I was online messing around with it than I had in the last probably 3 hours in actual World of Battles that I've had, you know, recently. So, I mean, I don't know. I got more out of it for me.
It also turned into scorpions.
Scorpions are awesome.
We could have used those scorpions because they take down gates really quickly. And since no one wanted to help us take down that gate.
Yeah, I regretted jumping out of it, but then I was like, I didn't know the map. So now that I know, I'll know for next time.
Yeah, it definitely seems a lot more intricate in the play version, but even just like looking at the map, it still seems kind of simple. Like it's hard to make a wide map where there's 3 entrances.
Have it be balanced.
Yeah.
I think that the bottom 2 are a bit too close to each other compared to the top.
I'll buy that.
They normally go at each other more, and like the top one's kind of hard to take compared to the bottom 2. But that's not really a thing. It doesn't really matter. I do like the exploitable bridges, though.
Oh yes, and we've already seen, you know, videos and footage of people from both sides, like what it's like to be on one of those exploding bridges.
Because we're Badlands right now this week, and there are 3 like sort of oil pipeline bridges going into the main area of that keep, and an enemy Zerg ran across. So what we did was basically just blow up all of the bridges behind them so they couldn't escape, and then, you know, arrow carted them all to death. It was pretty satisfying.
Nice.
You can use them in all kinds of ways. You can use them to block attack. You can use them to block retreats. You can use them to troll your teammates. You can do it to troll enemy Zergs. It's pretty great.
So now that this update is out, is anybody really like doing the marionette fight? For it's up for 1 more week, right?
Yeah, it's up until the 18th, I guess. So the next Living Story patch will come in. I think there are fewer people doing it. I've still gone to it, and we've made it to the last champion and failed because people are bad. The last warden, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are still doing it. Not nearly as many, but depending what time of day and everything, or what day of the week, you can still find people. Like if you go out like 1 p.m. on like a Thursday, there's not going to be a lot of people. You can still find people doing it.
Yeah.
Prime time on a weekend.
Sweet. That, as far as I know, that's really just the two major things with Guild Wars 2 this week.
Have you been Overgrowth yet? Because we have not.
Yeah, I was Overgrowth. Just now, when we
what's
were
the
testing.
Special thing for that? Because with Badlands, it's the Siege Devourer for Frostreach. You turn into a giant Kodan who has a knockback on his auto attack, which, with the map being a series of floating islands over the abyss, you can imagine how fun that is.
Oh, yeah.
What's the do you know what the Overgrowth one is? Because I don't.
Not yet. Only just like pretty much while I was playing as Overgrowth, I was trying to get to you guys. We have Grawl on our side, but that might be something that everyone has.
Well, no, because the Kodan are in Frostreach, and then I forgot what's in the Badlands, except for my favorite boss in the entire map, but that's a different thing. I'll show you that later, Squiddle. It's amazing.
Okay.
Have you seen Thurb the Buckets?
No, I have not.
Oh, really? They've shown them off on the stream. In each... There's like three towers throughout the map, one in each zone, and each one has a bucket in it. You jump in the bucket from like right next to it or whatever, and you get a prompt that's just, you know, pull or whatever the hell it says, and it takes you to the top of the tower where there's diving goggles. And you have to jump off of the top of the tower, which is extremely high, into the tiny bucket below. Otherwise, you die.
Now, while that sounds incredibly awesome, like based on my question is, have you seen any jumping puzzles yet?
No.
Bugger.
We were talking about that before on Mumble. I wonder if there's a hidden jumping puzzle in there somewhere.
I like it. I like jumping puzzles.
Because like the thing about this map is, while it is fairly small in a like a X and Y sense, The fact that there is like underground pathways and sometimes three tiers of like verticality does make it a lot more interesting.
Yes, because you can see a whole bunch of enemies and then they'll run underneath you and come up the other side and you'll just be like, oh geez, where did they go? And then you'll get caught off guard.
And I have a love-hate like relationship with the weather effects because it seems like it's really cool, and it adds it obscures your vision to make it harder to see Zergs and whatnot. But by the same time, it obscures your vision, and there's just it looks too busy when I'm playing.
Yeah, I guess. Like I'm talking about like the sandstorm specifically.
Yeah, sandstorm and like the blizzard and all that.
Blizzard just makes you move real slow, which is kind of really lame.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with them. Give some incentive to take the outer, like to defend the outer edges of your keep instead of just the middle. Because that way you get to keep those buffs up because they stack in intensity for each like thing that you own.
Oh, nice.
Like it goes, I think, for Frostreach, for example, it goes from like 10 to 20 to 30% movement speed reduction. It's pretty substantial. There's one more thing.
Oh?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Have you knocked anyone off yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, you haven't like home run Guardian hammered anyone off?
No, as I'm still leveling the Guardian, mainly I just run around in SPVP when I try to level. But just in a PvE sense, / world versus world, I just have a sword and board and a greatsword.
Okay, because I forgot where exactly it is, but there's one tiny little area near the middle somewhere, because it's sort of green but not quite Overgrowth, near one of the supply generators, I want to say, near the northeast one. There's a little ledge where you can jump down, but you can't really get back up. Oh. So this was like the night the map launched. I was on my Mesmer running Sword Focus, and there was a group of maybe five or six of us in the guild running around, and some dude is stuck down there. And everyone's calling me over. I'm like, what are you doing? And they're just like, take a look. And I see like this Necro down there. I was like, oh, hey, buddy. So I just run over to him, stand right next to him. and then pull him off with the mesmer wall and just jump back up.
Nice.
He fell to his death. It was so satisfying. Because that never gets old, that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It gets to the point where if you have a large group of people, and they're not large, maybe like medium-sized group of people, and you find one or two dudes running around by themselves, you become sort of like a predator sort of toying with their prey, if you will, where no one will really attack outside of auto-attacking because they don't want to kill the person. They just want to knock them off. That's always way more fun. Oh, it's the last thing. Speaking of getting knocked off.
Yes.
And mentioning the boss before. Have you done the airport? It's in the Battlelands. It's the thing with the airship inside.
We didn't. Like, we tried attacking the airport, but I don't think we were successful.
Okay.
I don't remember. Like, it didn't look like an airport where I died.
Because each point has its own unique boss with its own unique mechanics. This guy is like some pilot, and he basically force chokes people. Meaning that if you don't have stability, he'll pick you up off the ground at range, and you will just be hovering in the air, and then he will throw you backwards, meaning he can just toss you off the edge.
Nice.
It's really funny. Like, people will just be, say the enemy owns it, and we'll be running through. One person will just get picked off, like, force-choked, and then just force-thrown off the edge to the abyss and die. It's hilarious. So, yeah. I'll try it. Squiddle was like rebuilding his house over there.
My chair kind of creaks a bit. I apologize.
I will definitely be checking out like the Edge of the Mists. I don't know. I need to find something that gets me back in the game.
Playing a Sword and Board Guardian is not exactly helping.
No.
It's kind of a boring build.
So for someone who's been out to find Sword and Board, you mean just
Sword and
like,
Board is just Sword and Shield.
Oh, Sword and Shield. Okay.
That's like every game uses that term.
That's the first time I've ever heard it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. This is the first time I've ever heard that. Yeah. Like, for me, if you were to say, sleeping an enemy, then they would be like, sheeping an enemy. From WoW. That's the only kind of technical term I guess I can remember off the top of my head. That. Yeah.
CC, crowd control.
Yeah, CC. I know CC. Okay, yeah. Well, I guess that's just what I've never heard, I guess.
Yeah, it's fairly common. Like any fantasy RPG that has those weapons, I would assume. Oh, and speaking of shields, in Bravely Default, you can get a support ability that lets you dual wield shields.
What?
It's really dumb.
Like two shield or two handed on the shield?
Oh, no, like one shield in each hand.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
That does sound pretty good.
Then you can get another one that gets you S rank in shields. It pretty much just means you do more damage with them. So I don't know if you can actually attack with the shield. I'm curious. I'll mess with it later. Yeah, Edge of the Mist. You should probably try running a hammer. That way you can home run people off the edge.
I definitely throw my guardian in the Edge of the Mist and mess around with that. That'll be fun.
Mesmer is really fun because some of the keeps, there's the bridge leading up to the gate is just a bridge over the abyss. And there are like ramparts up on the side where people go up and set up siege and attack. So you can pull them off of that. And normally you just pull people, regular World v. World, you just pull people off of walls and they land in front of the wall and can run back inside. They can't do that if they fall to their death.
Yeah.
It's pretty now, great.
Will that work with Scorpion Wire, or does the Mesmer's ability have further?
The Mesmer ability is weird because it ignores the Z-axis.
Okay.
More or less. Also pulls multiple people.
Oh, yeah.
But does Scorpion Wire pull them to you?
I believe it does.
Because the way the wall works is it pulls them like perpendicular to the wall. And you can sort of place it in a weird at a weird angle.
I'll have to mess with that.
It basically pulls them through the wall. It's kind of strange. But that and the between that and the knockback on the greatsword, I've been having lots of fun on my Mesmer. Just making people real mad, real salty. Look that up, Scorpion Wire. Throw a Scorpion Wire and pull your foe to you.
Yeah, I think it might be like, well, I don't know if they would ignore Z-axis for that.
They do, because in the jumping puzzle in the Obsidian Sanctum, you can pull people off of the top of those platforms where you first enter. You can pull them off of those with Scorpion Wire.
I'm kind of bummed that the Obsidian Sanctum, like, when it first came out, people were really into using those traps, but not anymore. It's just either there's camping at the beginning or there's camping near the very end, or just no one's there.
Yeah, well, that's where a lot of, like, GVG stuff goes on. They sort of added, like, a little extra area for that.
Yeah, I remember that arena. That like, the arena looks really nice, don't get me wrong, yeah. But it's just, like, the idea behind...
the traps are great.
The traps are great, but no one uses them.
Yeah, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What else has been going on, you guys?
The polar vortex finally hit Portland.
Oh, yeah?
I saw there was snow on the ground.
Yeah, a lot of snow.
It's a lot of snow.
We got last week somebody woke up, and I woke up, not just somebody. And the story has an end point here. Hold on.
Okay.
Jeez,
you panicked about that story real quick.
Does the story have a beginning?
There was snow in San Antonio.
Okay.
Sort of. Okay. So do you guys ever been to a theme park where there's Dippin' Dots?
Yes.
Okay. So imagine Dippin' Dots as San Antonio's snow.
So it was like sleet and hail.
Yeah, but it was soft.
Weird.
Yeah. So one of the ladies from work said that she woke up, went to her trash can, I guess, to throw trash out in the morning, and said, "Why did somebody throw styrofoam all over my trash can?" Not realizing it's very cold out and wet, that it could be somewhat of a snow buildup of some sort.
Yeah.
And then she realized, oh, it's everywhere, not just on my house. And it's like the bed of my truck had like...
Someone threw styrofoam everywhere.
Yeah, there was a running, massing styrofoam shooting gun guy with a helmet on.
Huh.
Yeah. And so that was a snow. That was a San Antonio snow bit. And it did not last long. I was kind of bummed. I was hoping there'd be more. But
what's the situation in Portland over there?
Just lots and lots of really heavy packing snow.
What's lots and lots of snow?
I don't know. I'd say maybe a foot, which is really not that much, except when you're at the bottom of a hill and you need to get up the hill to get out.
It's a lot, but it's not like unmanageable.
Yeah, it's just it's even when I lived in Indianapolis and there was snow, it was like a powder or usually just like freezing rain. Which isn't really snow at all. But packing snow is just a pain.
Yeah, because we had about... Like, I haven't seen my front yard since maybe right after Christmas, I guess. I don't know. I don't know when the snow torrent started. But we had maybe 6 to 8 inches, let's say, on the ground already. And it's slowly starting to melt. And now it's snowing, like, right now. And I think it's going to snow again Wednesday night into Thursday.
Yeah, luckily for me, it should be, you know, all done by Tuesday, I think. It's Monday, it might be going away, but it might be freezing rain. I don't know. It depends on the temperature. But then Tuesday, it should be gone.
It needs to be gone by the spring because my Portland Timbers need to play because they're doing their preseason down in Arizona. You should go to a Timbers game. I'll live vicariously through you.
I should.
That way you could go, Timber, because it's cold. And
get it? Because of snow?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, I went to a match, if you will, down in Philadelphia where the Timbers were in town. And even just the small East Coast platoon of the Timbers Army was a good time. Big old dude with a drum, flags, and a tifo, and scarves. If you're into scarves, it's a place to be.
Hmm.
Are you into scarves?
I'm not against scarves.
I want to order a Portland Timbers scarf.
Sure.
Okay. Are you like in Portland proper?
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, even though you are not a sports guy, is there like any, I mean, do you see people with like Trailblazers and or Timbers things?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because I know basketball is, you know, fairly popular nationwide compared to soccer, but I was curious if you still see.
Because Trailblazers definitely, like, of course, right now, a lot of people are showing love for Seattle, or I guess maybe the bandwagon for Seattle.
Yeah.
Having just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's basketball season and it's not soccer season.
Yeah.
Football season just ended.
Well, I mean, like, the Trailblazers, they just finished their drafts or something?
I don't think so.
It's on their Twitter. They keep announcing people who are joining the team. I don't know.
Might have just traded for people.
That's it.
It's just whenever. They might have signed people. They could have just done trades. Who knows? I don't follow basketball. Basketball's silly.
I said Timbers.
The Timbers. So, oh, yes. Oh, the Timbers, it was just, it's the offseason. It's like spring preseason is starting. So they're doing like re-signing people and like the transfer window is open and all that.
We should probably talk about video games on this video game podcast.
Ah, whatever. Let's talk about FIFA. That's a video game that the Timbers are featured in. I haven't played FIFA in a while. Burned myself out on FIFA.
I'm sorry.
Played so much of it. I played more Bravely Default.
How is Bravely Default?
Okay. So you know how I talked about Bravely Default multiple times on this podcast already, right?
Yes.
You know how it seems super complicated?
From what people have said of the demo and all that, and just in the game in general, yeah, super complicated.
It's more complicated than I thought.
So, like, is it worth it to continue complicated?
Oh, no, yes, definitely. It's just there are... I was talking to Dern about this before. That game has systems on systems on systems. Like, I've talked about the job system and the support system and the way the combat works with the Brave and Default systems and turns and all of that before. But now that it's the main game, you have all of the internet and street pass systems piled on top of that. So there's a system where you can send moves and summon friends, meaning that if I go to the summon friend menu and hit send with a certain character for that turn, whatever they do that turn is the move that I send to people. So I can say, Squirtle, hypothetically, you get a 3DS.
Okay, hypothetically. All right, I'll
hypothetically. And you get Bravely Default.
Okay.
And you hit send and do like a big special attack or whatever. When I hit summon friend and hit receive and choose you, because you're hypothetically on my 3DS friends list.
Okay. We're still dealing with hypotheticals. I like that. Okay.
Whatever move you sent, you then join my battle and do in place of that character's turn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you can break it in the early game because say I finish the game and all my characters are super strong. You can do that at the beginning of the game and summon one of my characters in and have him one hit the boss.
So early in the game, you could have a person who's about to beat the game just do either an insane move or a basic move, and it's really just, it's going to break the game, so to speak.
No, because you can only do that once.
But what?
It's not like he hangs around.
What if you send another guy, like, you know, 5 minutes later?
Sending is independent of receiving.
Okay.
Sending is basically just what other people receive if they choose you. It makes more sense in context.
Sure.
Okay.
Basically just like what you have to offer, if you will.
Okay.
And then on top of that, what was your question? Go ahead.
I mean, like, just please continue with like whatever is on top of it.
Because there's also the Abilink. I don't know how many I's and L's are in there. There's a few. Pretty much each job has its own level, independent of the character level. So you'll have a character that's like level 20, and they'll be like Black Mage level 6.
Well, yeah, because like you get I saw this on the Giant Bomb quick look of it, where like, you know, you get the professions from the bosses.
Yeah.
Then that, seems like a weird, almost Mega Man-esque, like Final Fantasy system.
It's a good way. It's closer to almost like something like Metroid or Mega Man. Actually, it's not really blocking progress, so not really Metroid. But it's a good way of easing you into the system, so you don't just have all 24 jobs at once and just, oh god, I'm overwhelmed.
Oh, I didn't realize there was 24. Wow.
Yes. It gets really weird. Like Pirates 1.
Okay.
It's strange. Performer is one. The male performer outfit makes you look like an Elvis impersonator. And the best part about all of these silly outfits is that in the cutscenes, they stay. So you'll have this super serious cutscene being told by this dude wearing giant ass sunglasses and dressed like Elvis. It's pretty amazing. But there's the Abilink system or Abilink system. Again, I don't really know how the hell it's pronounced.
Right.
That your character, you get to link with someone on your friends list. Each character gets to link with one person. And now they have all of the job levels of that person and all of the abilities that are entailed. So let's say, again, hypothetically, Squirtle buys the 3DS in the game.
Yeah.
He ablinks with my Black Mage, let's say, or with me, for his Black Mage. His Black Mage is level 2, but my Black Mage is level 13. He doesn't get access to all the spells because you still need to buy like the spell from a merchant to use it, but he gains access to all of the support abilities, which are your passives, for all of the classes. So like say I have a level 13 Black Mage and like a level 10 Knight, he can pick from like that entire pool of support abilities for that character. Which is kind of neat. This pretty much gives you a big pool. It's basically so you don't need to grind up each job to 15 by yourself. Because that would take years. Time that I don't want to put into that game.
Sure.
So it's a really smart system that's pretty well balanced, because at the start of the game, you only start with 1 point for your support skills, and some of the better, higher level support skills take up more than 1 point. So you just can't equip them until you progress further in the story. And also, like I said, if you get a Black Mage, you don't get access to all of your like Furiga and crazy high level black magic, because you haven't gotten far enough in the game where a merchant will sell you that like spell scroll. So it's really well balanced, but it pretty much provides you more options for your builds without having to grind all the way up there. It's really, really smart. I wish more games did it, especially now in the age of the internet.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm playing that and then Final Fantasy XII, which I'm still chugging through. I'm almost at the end. Do you like Final Fantasy games?
I don't know. I don't think I could manage doing like a 60-hour playthrough of a game.
Because Durin, myself, and Loopy are doing the Final Fantasy Challenge.
What is the Final Fantasy Challenge?
We are all trying to finish all of the numbered Final Fantasy games within this calendar year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was asked about that, and I said, nope, I'm not. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Any of them, Squirtle?
I played Final Fantasy X.
Okay. It's a good one.
To completion on the PS2, I think it was. Was it the PS2 when that came out? And was it PS3? I can't remember.
It was PS2.
It was PS2. And I had a lot of fun doing the game where you're underwater with the soccer ball or whatever that's called.
That game's really dumb.
And yeah, so that was a fun game. Really enjoyed it, but I did not feel like putting in that much time into another game. It drained me. But it was fun. I mean, it was really good. So,
I found on my PS3 all of my old PS2 save data that I had backed up at some point. And my near complete, I guess once you factor in me completing it, Final Fantasy X save data is 43 hours. It actually isn't that long.
Yeah, I would say that's kind of short.
I didn't do like any of the Ultima Weapon side stuff. because I was impatient. I was an impatient child.
Oh wait, I did play. I guess isn't Chaos Rings? Are those Final Fantasy esque?
Sure.
Are they? I mean, are they? Over here. Hold on.
I don't know Chaos Rings.
What are those games?
Chaos Rings 2.
Return to Chaos Ring Mountain?
No.
These are iOS games.
Yes. But I thought they were... Oh, they're just by Square Enix. Games
on the show.
Sorry. Well, no, they're out for Android, too.
No, no. We talk about real video games on the show.
Oh, nice. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, it was Final Fantasy-esque. That, and I played those and had a fun time with it. But because they didn't have cloud support or any kind of support, because I format my phone often for doing, you know, either when I was on iOS jailbreaking or on Android, you know, rooting and changing ROMs just to see what's up. There was no real good way to save data, so my 30 hours spent in Chaos Rings 1 got wiped and didn't realize it, and I said, nope, not doing it again.
Ugh.
So, yeah. So
you should get, if you want nostalgia, or also want to play a good game, you should pick up, oh, never mind, you don't have a PS3. I was going to say the 10 and 10.2 HD pack that's coming out next month.
No, but I did find my Xbox, my original Xbox 360 in the garage.
Wow. Nice.
That still, I guess, functions. I haven't plugged it in. But it still has the old menu where, like, the card menu. You know?
Oh, the blades?
Yeah, it still has the blade menu.
Wait, that was the best one.
So, I don't know. I was thinking about pulling it out maybe next weekend or something like that and doing something with it.
All of the software updates.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully there's one giant update and they didn't do this dumb thing where, like, we need to patch this and then reboot and patch this, and I'm doing that for 4 hours. So
they probably did that.
Yeah, they probably did that. Here. Not, like, just logistically trying to, like, have a server up, like, you know, a patch for every single version that is out seems terrifying.
Yeah.
You should trade that in and get a PS3.
I sold my PS3. I'll get maybe a PS4.
What was that deal where you trade your PS3 in for an Xbox One.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
And you get $100 off.
What?
Yeah, that was the Microsoft store was doing that. It was like, trade in your PS3 towards an Xbox One and we'll give you $100 for it. But in reality, you can sell your PS3 on something like Craigslist for way more than $100.
Even before that, like, you're selling this device and you don't get any credit for the games, from the Xbox at least, and you're selling this device that has, like, hundreds of games on it for a device that has, like, what, a dozen?
Yeah, also, if you're going for, like, a straight multimedia console, the PS3 is still the best one. It's better than either of the new ones. Hmm. Because of, like, PS3 Media Center and the Blu-ray playback, which, you know, both of the new ones still have. But the Netflix app is still the best one out of all of them. All that. Media Server is really the big deal with that. You can just stream stuff straight to it from anywhere on the network. Yeah, get a PS3 and a 3DS. About this 3DS.
I'm gonna throw something out there. Let's say that Nintendo decides to go, we're gonna have a whole new handheld coming out at the end of this year.
We're not gonna do that.
I just don't wanna. Okay, I don't know. Maybe I'll look on the used market. I just don't want to pay full price. So that's about it. And so.
Bundle, which is a mistake.
It's not a mistake.
It's a mistake.
I'll get the bundle and then I'll go get the tattoo of the Triforce over, like, my heart, like my left breast per se, and then I'll wear a shirt that is just cut open at PAX so you can see the awesome tattoo while I walk around with my Zelda 3DS.
You can get the Yoshi's New Island bundle that's going to be coming out.
Nope. I like Yoshi's Island. Don't get me wrong. I've always been a fan of it, but
the game looks real bad.
No bundle, not a bundle for that one. Like, okay, so I was so obsessed with Zelda back in the day. Was it Nintendo Power or I don't know where I saw it at. You could buy, like, items or trinkets for the games. Like, they had, like, a Mario keychain or a Zelda keychain. I don't know where I saw it, but I wish I still had it somewhere. But it was a pen, and it was like a brass, heavy brass pen that had the Triforce logo on it. And it was in a triangle shape, so it was really hard to write with and heavy and annoying.
But it sounds weird.
But it looked so awesome because you could polish it up and then put it up there, and it had like the Triforce, and it said like Zelda on it or something like that. And absolutely loved it, to the fact that I lost one and then bought another one and then found that one, and I had two. Now I can't find either of them. So
because they still have something like that. Like Club Nintendo, if you buy stuff from Nintendo and do a whole bunch of surveys and stuff, you get mad points, and you can get all kinds of game-related things. Like right now, one of the items that's up is a set of two posters from Animal Crossing. You can get like game cases. I'm also looking. Walmart has this bundle online, the 3DS XL with A Link Between Worlds, and it's the limited edition one for $220, which is the game and the console.
I did find my old school GameCube Animal Crossing box with a special memory card that came with it that had a gift on it for you.
Oh, geez. So
I was like, wow, nostalgia. That's pretty awesome.
I have a purple GameCube sitting in my house.
Wow.
It's not mine.
Oh.
Borrowing it.
Okay.
To play Metroid Prime, but I got sidetracked by all these JRPGs. Have you been playing anything?
I've been playing... I did some DayZ, did some Kerbal. Still doing the Spelunky every now and then.
Are you any good at Kerbal? Because I...
See, the
I don't
thing
have
with
patience.
The thing with Kerbal is, I just it was during Unprofessional Fries. I saw Vinny, or no, it was during Rory's puppy stream. I saw Vinny playing it,
chat.
And I was just like, "Eh, I'm gonna dust it off and give it some shots." And pretty much like the one goal I had was like get a orbit in space was like the first goal I had. Just, you know, pretty basic. And I somehow managed to scratch something like that together on Friday or Saturday. And I was like, okay, well, let's actually try going to the moon now. Not land on the moon, not go to the moon and back.
Like just crash into it?
Crash into the moon. And spent a couple of times trying to get, like, you know, a solid rocket out of out of Kerbal's orbit, and then with enough fuel to, like, somehow get to the moon. And didn't really get any further in that, but... I don't know. I'll be talking with Mage Knight probably, you know, this week or next week or something to be like, hey, how do you play this game?
Because he's way into Kerbal.
Oh, yeah. So
and
that's
just more Spelunky.
More Spelunky. I've just been doing it for just trying to get a speed run to try and get the 8-minute challenge done.
Is that like an official thing, or is that like...
Yeah, there's an achievement to try and get it done in 8 minutes or less. And then another to beat Olmec without getting any gold.
And seems difficult.
That is insanely difficult, yes. It's very difficult.
Now, do you gain gold when you kill enemies, or is it just stuff you walk over?
Just stuff I walk over. I'm trying to think. There's like rare occurrences, but yeah, like pretty much the issue is like if you want to progress, sometimes you have to like get the gold out of the way, and yeah, it's tricky.
Well, how do you get it? Just like push stuff into it that knocks it off?
No, if you whip money, it moves slightly.
Okay, yeah. It sounds tedious.
Oh yeah.
Now, are there any Spelunky experts out there that have done both of these runs at once?
Probably. Like, I imagine Banasaurus Rex will just, like, nonchalantly, like, oh, hey.
Who's that? I don't know who that is.
Banasaurus Rex is a very good speedrunner, but also he's the guy who's noted as being the first person to record himself doing the eggplant run by himself. Like, no one else has laid claim to it and then had footage to prove it. The eggplant run is doing an insane series of stuff for really no reward other than to make the final boss one-shottable.
Okay, yes, I believe you've explained this.
Yes. But needless to say, it is insanely difficult, and he had to use, like, every trick in the book, including, like, stuff that is considered glitching, but at the same time, like, it's the only way to make this possible. So the developers are like, yeah, we'll let it be a not glitch.
Because, like, I know even with this Final Fantasy thing that we're doing, just being pretty strict about, like, speed hacks and glitches and stuff, because if it's built into the game, it's fine. But I was talking to Duren, and he was like, yeah, I might just emulate some of the older games so I can just, you know, speed it up in the emulator. I'm like, oh, no, 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 sir. None of that nonsense. But in the PC version of FF8, there's a thing that you can just check, I guess. I don't know. He was explaining it. That gives you a ton of high-level magic right away, which obviously speeds the game up. And that is perfectly fine within the rules.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to speed runs and all that, and glitching with speed runs, there's stuff like the infamous Zelda run where the entire Ocarina of Time is beaten in 10 minutes.
Well, then you sort of like jump backwards through a wall.
Yeah. Well, you jump backwards through a wall, but it also involves bugging out the, like, you know, whenever you beat a boss in Zelda, there's that blue orb thing that appears.
Yeah.
It also, you're bugging that by, you know, it's to make a joke, you're dropping a jar of bugs on it to then make it say, okay, the next place you go to is this other, like, is Ganon's final lair. But yeah, there's glitching like that. But then when I watched the Awesome Games Done Quick marathon, I saw a Mirror's Edge playthrough. And the way they glitch is much more impressive. I think one of the Metroid games does it too, where it's just like you have to do this really quick keybind over and over and over again to get yourself the smallest speed increase.
And that's weird.
If you like take damage or like, you know, stop for a second, you lose it. So it's constantly having to just, you know, balance this, you know, knife or something.
Because I know, like, some of the Metroid games have, like, super speed, where if you run in the same direction, you run, like, hella fast.
What they were doing was, like, basically, if you take damage, you go faster or something. But anybody who is slightly interested in speedrunning or just, I guess, a type of esports, I'll try and find the timestamp for the links, for the plugs, rather. But this year, they had, like, a four-person speedrun race, which was much more interesting to watch than just one person
that
playing
Wasn't that on Awesome Games Done Quick?
Yeah, on Awesome Games
Done Quick. I believe all that stuff is archived, and you can find forum threads all over the place where it just breaks it down by timestamp for each game or even separated into its own videos.
But it's like four of the top-tier racers of like this community focusing entirely on that, and then having four, like two other racers act as commentators is a really good setup. And it was really interesting to watch.
My favorite speedruns are always the games that you walk backwards faster than you walk forwards.
Oh, yeah.
So the person just has to try and mess with the camera like in reverse the whole time.
Yeah.
Those are always fun to watch.
It's what was it? Grand Theft Auto like 3, and I think 3 is the only one to have it, but for 3, if you look top down like you would in Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2, vehicles don't spawn. But for Grand Theft Auto Vice City, you have to look behind you while driving forward, which could be kind of dangerous. But like,
sounds problematic.
Yeah, it makes the cars don't spawn, but you'll still hit a tree if you aren't driving good. But in terms of other stuff, I played, still doing DayZ.
Like busted, or are they patching that fairly frequently?
It's not their pat. Like they're throwing updates every now and then, and it's they're still. It's still, you can get yourself in a rut, like you can get yourself trapped in a building, but you just have to be smart and know, like, oh, I shouldn't go in this building or I shouldn't interact in this way inside this building. But there, I think about once a month, we'll see, like, you know, a meaty update of sorts. Like recently, they added a few more weapons, added a few more emotes. Basically, you can, like, applaud or give people the bird.
They're getting like hot fixes and stuff in there pretty frequently.
Yeah, I'd say like, you know, it's not as on fire as most alphas.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah,
because once that's out, I might pick it up. I don't know. I messed with DayZ and Arma just very slightly and wasn't super hot on it.
I would say you probably want to pick it up around like November, maybe, like right before they go to beta. Because a lot of stuff will be in there. It won't necessarily be like bug free, but you'll be getting it for a cheaper price.
It'll be feature complete and whatnot.
Yeah, they
still have more money.
Yeah, they think it'll be beta by 2015. I don't think they're going to hit beta this year.
Damn.
But then I also played.
It's real early then. Either that, or they're just taking their sweet old time.
What do you mean?
Like, it's either real early or they're taking their sweet old time, or both. If it's probably
This year. The alpha right now is very bare bones, but at the same time, it's, I guess, the pure, like, it's, there's not a lot of zombies. It's what people like about DayZ is just that human element where, like I said, I haven't actually killed anybody, but I've ran into like 3 or 4 people. And it's just been this like thing that I managed to catch them before they catch me, and I don't shoot on sight usually. So they just turn a corner with like, you know, their melee weapon out and see me crouched on the ground pointing a gun at them and just say like, I see you, back away now.
Now, do you think they'll sort of allow server modding, meaning that you can make a server that supports has no zombies but supports more players?
I'm not sure how that's going to play out. I know they have. I don't think there's going to be one that supports. I don't know.
That's how I would want to play that game.
Whereas
I'd
want to play it the opposite, where if there's a lot more zombies, or if the zombies are more of a threat. Like, necessarily a lot more, but just, like, smarter zombies, maybe, then there's more of a reason to team up. Because right now, it's just, like, once you're fully geared, you can either go around and kill people, or you can go around and help people from getting killed.
Because I remember from my experience that the zombies were just sort of a really big annoyance.
Yeah. Like, right now, they're just super annoying.
Just super inconvenient, just made it less fun.
Which actually, to jump gears to the other survival games, Rust completely got rid of their zombies in a recent update.
Not like a permanent change?
I'm not sure if it's permanent, but they said, like, you know, they were sick and tired of people saying, like, you know, the zombies are bad in this game. We don't like zombies. We don't like zombies. So they just got rid of the zombies and put in, like, bears and wolves that are just super aggressive.
Okay.
Which is also because of the, like, the Minecraft nature of it. There was a hilarious video that is like, if I played Rust, this is what I would do. Someone made a toll booth.
Jeez.
It was just like, had 3 or 4 buddies helping him, and it's just like, if anybody approached, they're like, all right, you have to give us a torch to get through. And that's the dumb stuff you'd see in Rust, but not in DayZ, I feel.
Because it seems like Rust is like way more player driven because of the lack of like a ton of threatening AI.
There's not a ton of threatening AI. The map, it's medium compared to like DayZ being large. Neither of them have vehicles right now. I mean, like, DayZ plans on having vehicles.
I know the mod had vehicles.
Yeah. And it's more so just like, you know, it's they haven't gotten what they want for the new vehicle system in place yet. They just, you know, that's why they released the alpha when they did. But yeah, it's the fact that it's Rust is much more creation designed allows for having a smaller map, I guess.
It sounds like it'd be more my cup of tea.
Yeah.
It's neat that this is sort of becoming its own little genre, though.
Yeah. It's just survival games, not even zombie survival.
Yeah.
But then also I played the first act of The Wolf Among Us, now that the second act has just come out.
The first... First episode,
chapter, whatever.
What's that?
It's good. I liked it.
Did you play The Walking Dead?
No. I watched it.
Because I only played the first episode.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it, and there's, like, you know, that they're, what I guess, like, how I was like, oh, this is probably how this is going to play out, and it doesn't, and it goes a different way, is really neat. But to anybody who's, you know, thinking about that, I'd say wait until they get, like, you know, episode 3 or 4, because 3 to 4, like 2 to 3 months between episodes is a bit too long. It almost seems like Telltale's biting off more than they can chew.
Because they got a ton of projects now.
Yeah, they got the Walking Dead season 2. They got The Wolf Among Us. They got the Borderlands. And then they got the Game of Thrones, and I thought there was a fifth one that they're working on too.
I think that's it. Still, 4 projects for a not very large studio.
Yeah, it's a small team. And also, they lost Jake Rodkin and Sean Vandeman to, like, you know, they set up Campo Santo, and those were the two guys who really, like, made The Wolf Among Us, you know, what it was. Or not The Wolf Among
it's,
Us,
it
the,
seems like,
The Walking Dead, sorry. Walking Dead Season 1.
Because it seems like The Walking Dead Season 1 was, like, all over the place. Everyone was talking about that. It seems like Season 2, no one is talking about it.
Everyone's just like, hey, it's out! But they don't explain what's going on with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm with you. I feel like they bit off more than they could chew instead of focusing on one project. No, I played the first episode of The Walking Dead. I thought it was okay. I didn't really think any of the characters were really that great. So I haven't bothered, even though I have the whole season.
All the characters who died I thought were really great. And it was like, man, I would love to hear more about them. But now they're dead.
No, I just didn't think it played particularly well. I know it's an adventure game. That doesn't mean it's a good one.
Speaking of adventure games, though.
Oh, Sigma.
Yeah. It's Squiddle, how have you been with Broken Age?
I haven't played any of it this week.
Son of eight. Okay, all right.
Did you finish it?
I finished the Shay's storyline.
Okay.
I'm still working on the other one, or whatever her name is. Well, that probably sounds bad. I don't remember her name. But no, actually, I've been playing Hearthstone.
Oh, you and everyone else. Except for me, apparently.
Now that they've hit open beta?
Yes. And it's pretty damn fun. I'm enjoying that. And I actually, at the same time, pre-ordered my Reaper of Souls Diablo 3.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm getting ready to delve into another 70 hours of that, or however long it takes me to get through that part of it.
Don't want to commit to 50-hour JRPG. We'll commit to 70 hours of Diablo 3.
Yes, I will. I have standards. I mean, I have my things I like to do.
Because I know a whole bunch of people on Mumble are all playing Hearthstone, and I'm just like, card games are weird.
It's okay. So, yes, if it was like a typical card game, normally I would not play it, but I like the interaction that this game has and the way that the style of it and the kind of the voices and the character. I don't know. It seems different than regular card games. Like, I played Magic Online for a bit, like a long time ago, and wasn't very satisfied with it. I'm pretty satisfied. I like the way that they're going about with this. But I haven't hit that point yet where I'm like, okay, I need to buy booster packs now. So maybe if I get to that point, I'll be like, no booster packs. I'm not spending money. So it's free right now.
Well, that just dropped like way too much money in right away.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at the tiers and what you could purchase, but I guess you could probably like drop $100 whatever you want.
I'm pretty sure you can just pay like $2 for a booster pack, which isn't bad.
Okay.
Just like, you know, a regular card pack.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, I haven't played much of it. The only reason I saw it is because I went to go do my pre-order for Reaper of Souls. And so I got that ready, set and going when it launches. So, but
I've seen a bunch of people complain about Hearthstone, and I just don't get it. They're just like, "What the hell? $2 for a card pack? Microtransactions?" I'm like, "Have you ever played a card game?"
Yeah, normally you go down to your local comic book store and buy a pack of booster cards.
And get nothing in there that you want, so then you have to go buy a second pack of booster cards.
That's how card games work. It's like, just because it's a video game, people need to yell microtransactions.
A game that is based upon having microtransactions, which are not even microtransactions, it's just a transaction. That's what card game history is.
Yeah, it's what it is. It's what the genre is. It's just this happens to be a digital version of that.
Exactly. And I think it's even cooler to have a digital version of it because I don't have to keep stacks of cards. I have a card collection right now. It's called Cards Against Humanity. And really? I even kickstarted, I can't remember what project. It was a project that on Kickstarter that somebody was doing. Cards Against Humanity decided to help them by saying we were going to give everybody who backs you at this level all of the PAX card sets that will never be distributed again. And I backed it for $45. I don't care what the Kickstarter was. I backed it because I would get the cards I did not get from PAX. So I'm a little obsessed with that card game. I don't need another one that is going to overly obsess me. And I think, or at least, I mean, keep my collection of stuff in my room. So this way, at least it's all digital and it's fun and I can buy it.
It'll be coming out on iOS at some point, and I assume you'll be able to log into your BattleNet account and sync.
Yeah.
You'll be able to play on your PC and on your iPad or whatever.
I'm actually holding out for the Android because I don't have an iOS anymore.
Yeah, it'd be smart glass, not an iPad.
Yeah. A Windows phone.
Yes. Okay, so speaking of Windows phone, almost bought one last week.
Why?
Okay, so a guy at work who is a big Windows fan fanatic, he's a Microsoft, he's a $M fanatic, decided to say, hey, they're doing this deal. If you take a iPhone 4S to a Microsoft store, you can get a free Lumia like 1040 or one of their 6-inch screen one or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever look at the Windows phone, the Lumias, the screens look phenomenal. Like,
yeah.
Everything looks beautiful. The camera's beautiful, but there's nothing in the software there yet. Like, there's no apps that I want in the store yet.
Yeah, because there's not enough market share to support developers wanting to do stuff.
Right. So I thought, well, I have a ton of iPhone devices just laying around between friends and family that aren't using them that I could probably just say, hey, will you give that to me? Sure. But then I saw at the bottom it said, with a valid 2-year contract.
Oh.
And that little thing at the bottom brought my two middle fingers straight in the air. And said,
you just wanted you just want the device just to mess around with it?
Yeah, I just wanted a device to play around with. I mean, I love that the Nexus 5 is at a cheap enough price where you could just buy it and mess around with it. And in doing so, I fell in love with it. But when they charge $600, $700, $800 for an off-contract device to see if I'm even going to like it, I think that's cock-a-doodie. So,
but, I really want a Nexus 5, but Verizon does not carry it because I don't know why.
Pissing contest.
Yeah,
is the easiest terminology to put it in.
Yeah, but Verizon's been screwing over Nexus devices for quite some time now, though.
They can't control them. Yeah, exactly. I did have a friend that bought a Moto X.
Oh yeah, I just got one of those.
And he really likes it. He got the wood back one, like the where they're doing the wooden back, so you can buy
paneling, whatever. Yeah. They just got bought out, or Google just sold Motorola to Lenovo.
Yep, they did.
I wonder because I have an uncle that works for Motorola. I wonder how he made out in that.
Well, it's interesting. So they sold it to Motorola, but yet they're keeping almost all the patents that Motorola came with. So they sold the design and all that, but they're like, no, you can have the design and the name, but we're keeping the patents.
Of course they are. That's all they wanted.
Oh, sure.
So, funny, though, because I wonder, like I said, I'm really curious what happened to my uncle. I should call him and find out, because he worked for Motorola, right? And Motorola was not doing well before they got bought by Google.
Right.
And because
you can't live on the Razer name for your entire life.
His small little department was down to like a dozen people, and he was like worried he was going to get laid off and all that. And they got bought out by Google. And Google threw a ton of money at his department, said, start hiring people. He got a bonus, and all of his Motorola stock got switched to Google stock 1-to-1.
Nice. Oh,
wow.
So I wonder what happened.
I would be on an island right now if that happened.
Yeah.
I would be playing Hearthstone in the middle of
paying for card packs, you wouldn't even care.
That's right. I'd be like, I'm going to buy Cards Against Humanity. How much you guys want?
Huh. Like, I'm curious. You'd be like, oh, man, it's only out on iOS, not on Android. Might as well buy like 20 iPads just because.
One for each room of the house.
Yep, just embed them in the wall.
Oh, if I could have an iPad that hooks up to an arm that swings out when I'm on the toilet, and it's just like an arm that just sits there, so I just tap the screen. I don't have to like hold it or anything. That would be awesome.
Why don't you just build an arm?
I should. I really should. I've been thinking about
that. That is the epitome of laziness right there.
Or I could get a shield and do the same thing. And then an NVIDIA graphics card and then just stream games to it when I'm on the toilet. So I don't have to stop.
How about this? You talk to your MS buddy and you have him hook you up with a Windows 8 tablet.
Oh, okay.
Stream games to that.
Oh, there we go.
I messed around with the in-home streaming.
How's that work?
Because I got into that. I have an old... Did I talk about this last week, Thurb? I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, I have an old home theater PC, and by old I mean this, the CPU in this thing is one of the old Pentiums, like pre-Core 2 Duo CPUs. Wow. And that has a hard time decoding the 1080p 60 frame signal on the fly.
Oh yeah.
Like if I have something like an MKV or an MP4 or something like that on there that's like HD video, it more or less works fine. Like some of the more high quality stuff, high bitrate stuff, it stutters a bit. I actually might be upgrading that next week. But I have a laptop that I got from school that has like an i7 in it and some workstation video card because it's an engineering school. And that works pretty damn near flawlessly. Like I was playing Tomb Raider on it and it was, I died a whole bunch because it was the last mission of the game. But it seemed fine. I was playing Guild Wars on it just to mess with it. It was pretty great. Over Wi-Fi too, which was surprising. Yeah, it's super, that software is super beta. But it gives you a ton of information, so you know exactly what's going wrong if it starts hitching. Like it tells you, it gives you a crazy amount of info. It tells you the latency. It tells you the bit rate and what the bit rate is broken down into. So it'll tell you the total network traffic being caused by the streaming in, you know, kilobits per second, and then break it down between what is the video streaming, what is the input streaming, like all these different things. And it'll tell you whether the game is slowing down, whether the video encoding is slowing down on the host machine, or whether the video decoding on the streaming, the machine being streamed to, is slowing it down. There's a whole bunch of graphs. It throws a crazy amount of info at you, so you know exactly what the problem is.
Sounds pretty awesome, pretty great. Actually.
Yeah. There's one little line. It's like, press F6 or like some other, I want to say it's like Command F11 or some silly, something like that. I think they sort of did that so they can have one message for all computers that are being streamed to.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously Command is not a Windows key.
Right.
But yeah, you press that and it takes up like the bottom third of the screen with just information. Pretty nuts.
Nice.
Emulators are pretty broken. Anything that has a separate launcher is kind of wonky because it does sort of scaling on the fly to the streaming PC. So say I launch Tomb Raider, which has a separate launcher. The launcher will be full screen. And then when I press play, it rescales so the game fits full screen. But that breaks some emulators because then the option to select what game you want to launch is sometimes hidden. So you have to go back to the like the main host PC and then select the game and then launch it. I'm sure that'll get ironed out over time. It's pretty neat. It works surprisingly well. But once I upgrade this PC next week, hopefully it'll work better because I want to be able to stream games downstairs because, you know, when I have people over or whatever and want to play some like couch co-op or something, don't have to sit up here with this computer.
Yeah, it's been kind of awesome now that like it's we're seeing a resurgence of PC games that are like couch games that you play with friends and multiple controllers and all that.
Yeah, because like you got Nidhogg and like Samurai Gun, but I'm even talking like the Lego games have drop in, drop out co-op and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
There's stuff like that, like Lego Lord of the Rings. And
okay.
The movie's out. The Lego, the movie, the game,
which I hear is actually kind of good. I haven't actually seen it.
The game are apparently really good, which is, I guess, more surprising from the movie point of view because those Traveler's Tales Lego games have always been pretty solid. Yeah, I want to go see that movie. My dad and I were talking. We were just like, we both want to go see the Lego movie, but neither of us want to be seen going to see the Lego movie. I've heard from other people as well. Yeah. Maybe I'll go see the Lego movie and we can talk about it next week.
Cool.
What's going on?
Think plugs now? Sound good?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's go to I know there's one plug that we both want to talk about. Tomorrow night.
Definitely. Our unnamed metal podcast which I don't, do we have a name for it? I don't think we have one yet. I'll
throw this idea at you too, and I want to hear what you think. You know how back in the day, well, back in the day, Ryan Davis had all the time on his New Balances. That was a thing, right?
Yeah.
Am I going crazy? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. You cut off a bit, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, he had baller time on his shoes, and baller time was a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I think a good name for that, for a Giant Bomb-themed heavy metal podcast, would take cues from that and from an old MTV program and call this Headbangers Baller Time. Hmm. Headbangers was an old MTV metal program. What do you guys think?
It sounds pretty good. But there, I don't know. I mean, Headbangers Baller Time. Okay. The more I say it, it kind of gets me.
Yeah.
So
kind of. It's like a compound name.
Yeah, because you got Headbangers Ball, and then you got Baller Time. It's like that category on Wheel of Fortune.
Potent Potables.
Is that what they're called? Like you continue when you like merge two phrases.
Sure.
So let's go with that.
Yeah. So it's the, like that's going to be a separate feed thing. It'll be plugged once it's going or what?
I have a feed. I think it's actually like ours is, I think, selfconfessedcynic.podbean.com. This feed is at commodorejenkins.podbean.com. But they're also posted, at least you posted the first episode on the off-topic section of the Giant Bomb forums. I'll put a link to whichever one is out by the time this is out in the show notes.
Very cool. So yeah, if you've enjoyed Chinboys and Squiddles' awesome music plugs at the end of each show, you will probably enjoy of heavy metal baller time.
Yes. Yeah.
It's funny because we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do to close that show. And I was just like, you know what? We do music plugs on this show. Let's do game plugs on that show. I don't know if we'll continue doing that, though.
Yeah. Still fun, though.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good time we had.
Sweet.
A bit rocky for that first episode, but it straightened itself out.
Any other plugs for you, Chinboy?
Everyone should play Final Fantasy XII, but only the International Zodiac System version. I'll link to a thing on how to do that, because that game was never released in English. It's that version of it.
Weird.
Yeah, so in order to play in English, you got to do some weird things with merging ISOs. That's about it.
Squiddle?
And Squiddle should get a 3DS.
Yeah. Thanks.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for that plug.
I guess I will just plug my Twitter, Mr. Squiddle. I'll be kind of posting some more stuff up on there, randomness. One of the things that I have been trying to do is finding the perfect IPA. I did tweet about one that I had, and it was absolutely horrible. I have another one that I'm going to send out. It was from a local brew house that actually was pretty good. But, yeah, if anybody has any suggestions on a really good IPA for me to try, shoot me a message.
It's not going to happen because all IPAs are gross.
There's got to be one out there. Just one.
Are you a fan of IPAs?
No, I'm not. Okay, I'm more of a fan of Trappels and Quadrelles. I can't remember what the other ones are. Belgian style, essentially. But I've been trying to find a good IPA because IPAs are like a mistress I can't tame, and I'm trying to figure out what I need to find to find the right one. They are bitter.
It's bitter.
Yeah.
Too bitter for me, I should say. Some people enjoy that, but I do.
I did have a Hatch Chili beer the other day from a local brew house, and it was really odd drinking Hatch Chilies in a beer style. So I'm not a fan of that, but just throwing that out there. But that's it for me. Plugs. Yay, plugs. Like hair plugs, only better.
Some other plugs. You could have went a way weirder route with that.
Hey, I'm trying to keep a family, all right?
Nice. And I guess my plug would just be check out the Edge of the Mist and Guild Wars 2 if you haven't already. I don't really have any. Yeah, that's what I got. Thanks everybody for listening.
Have any IPAs you want to recommend?
No, no, really, no IPAs.
There's probably a lot of microbreweries in Portland.
There are. It's just, I mean, this weekend I've almost had cabin fever just because I can't leave my house because it's so much snow.
I know that feel.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.